And we welcome you to yet another edition of the Post-Game Podcast. Jeff Williams, Kevin Lonquist with you in the aftermath of the Bearcats 77-7 by-district win tonight over the Kimball Knights. Keep wanting to call them Justin Northwest, but the Kimball Knights, I have no idea. All night long I had to pause before I said Kimball because I wanted to say Justin Northwest. But a big win tonight. Bearcats win their 24th consecutive, and this is not skipped a year, all that, but 24 straight years they have now won a by-district game. And that, to me, that's as big a story as any. That's just a remarkable – I don't know if anybody's ever done that before or not.
I would suspect no. I mean, maybe you could think of programs like Katy or Galena Park North Shore
maybe
or whatever.
Maybe so. But, it's got to be up there.
Yeah, but those teams have probably run into somebody that popped them in a year or something like that. And, of course, it all comes down to your draw and matchups and everything else. But for a program to – but, again, even though football has changed so much over these 24 years as far as Alito is concerned making the playoffs – that's a very, very impressive thing to do, regardless of who it is that you're playing, because you've got to figure in one of those years you're going to have a bad night, and it's not going to go well, and you're going to, and it hasn't happened.
Since 1996, when they defeated the Clifton Cubs, by the way, in the by-district, 24-14, and quite honestly, I think they've made it to the quarterfinals every year, with the exception of 08 when Everman knocked them out in the area round 24-7, and then RG3 back in 2012 knocked them out 42-30 down at Waco ISD Stadium. I think they've gotten to the quarterfinals.
Denton Geyer beat them in Northwest, and Denton Geyer got them in 2012. They lost to RG3 in the state semifinals.
I'm sorry, Geyer, not RG3. Right. Yeah, but Geyer, 42-30. I said RG3's Denton Geyer. That was wrong.
Right.
But it was Geyer, 42-30.
That was Gerard Hurd.
And I think, yes, it was. Whose sister, by the way, is the point guard for TCU women's basketball team.
How about that? Okay.
So there you go. But, yeah, that's remarkable. I think the quarterfinals at least every year, like 22 of 24 years, they made the quarterfinals, except for those two seasons, and they ran into two pretty good clubs. Those were teams that had been undefeated. I think that 12 team had lost one. Anyway, to tonight, Kimball coming in out of the DISD. Fourth, one versus four is almost always a foregone conclusion, but Alito really, I mean, this is one they could have thought, we'll handle this or whatever, but Kimball made the mistake, and teams do this periodically. I don't understand it. They give the Bearcats, they saw the game films, because a lot of times they'll defer. Teams defer, and you think, well, you might not even be in the game in the second half a lot of times. I still haven't figured that quite out, why teams would do that, because you're guaranteeing them to have at least as many possessions as you, and you may be giving them an extra one.
Yeah, two mistakes. They won the coin toss and then deferred the choice, so they wouldn't get the ball to open the game, and you've got to have the ball, especially when you're a heavy underdog on the road. And then the second mistake they made was on their opening possession, they decide to punt when they have a fourth and fairly manageable around
two or three.
Around midfield, and Alito had already.
I think
taken,
it might have been 14-0 at that point.
No, it was 7. It was 7-0.
And then Alito had the short field and scored.
Right. The thing is that you're down 7-0. You're the heavy underdog. You've got to take some chances because you're severely outmanned. And I thought the decision to punt on 4th and 3 was very curious to borderline not good, because you've got to give your team a chance to stay in there with them and do some things that you wouldn't ordinarily do. I'm not saying you gamble the whole way through, but that might have been a time to say, we got to stay with them.
Right.
And they didn't do it, and they punt, and then Alito just takes it down, and it's 14-0. That's basically it.
Yeah. Now, having said that, you look at the score 77-7, but that Kimball team, with a few things going the other way, they've got some kids, and they've got a quarterback coming back next year. So look for them to be, I think, perhaps even better next season, because they had a bunch of juniors playing for them, and notably their quarterback, who's got some solid skills. Enjoyed watching him play. Tonight we got to see a little more of Jace McClellan. He looked didn't have huge numbers. I mean, he averaged like 8.5 yards a carry tonight.
Right.
But the development of his role as a pass catcher out of the backfield, when you've got all these guys scattered downfield, 3 catches for 99 tonight, that could play huge dividends for them because you just can't – I don't know how defenses down the road are going to be able to cover all these guys.
You know, when he caught that – it was a very similar play when he caught the touchdown pass, which was his only touchdown reception in the state championship game last year against Fort Bend Marshall. Screen, got some blockers in front and took it in. That's such a great weapon to have. Now you've basically got your fourth receiver out there. And I've always said about Jace, we were talking. I remember talking about this with you and John last year during the season. I said, I just wish they would throw it to more because his hands are pretty good. And you get to see that on display tonight. And he's going to be a weapon provided he, you know, wherever he goes. If he goes to Oklahoma or if he's, you know, he gets sashayed away and goes somewhere else or whatever. But regardless, that's going to be a real weapon because when a running back can catch the football and make something happen, he becomes a two-pronged threat. And that's – and you can't defend that.
Well, see, and opposing teams at the high school level are putting their best guys on Money and JoJo already. Mm-hmm. So now you're down to, at best, probably a linebacker and team and high school covering him coming out of the backfield because you get your best DBs covering JoJo and Money, Pellegrino, whatever, and you're worried about him as a runner. And like I said, when you fake it to him, play fake it to him, and think, all right, it's not going to be JoJo. And then suddenly he just kind of filters out there and gets the ball, and he's going up against a guy who is not going to be as fast, is not going to be as strong as he is, and he just tears it up.
That's how much he changes this offense.
Yes, completely. Because they're – and Coach talked about it with us before the game when we talked to him. He said – people are scared to death when Joe, you know, when they have regular, when they have the other running backs in there, they respect them. They don't fear them. Mm-hmm. They fear Jace McClellan in the backfield. Looking ahead, it's Royce City coming up. It'll be a fairly new opponent. The Deacon's going to do some deep research this week to see if they've ever played Royce City, but they defeated Lovejoy tonight 42-21. That game has yet to be determined as of post game. But you know, that's going to be a team that comes in. Last year, the Bearcats played Lovejoy and handled them pretty well over at Pennington, 62-28. But they double them up, so this can be a pretty good club. But, again, the Bearcats, you know, you start getting to this level. Royce City has had success in the past. This is not some newbie program, so they're going to come in with their eyes wide open. They know what they're dealing with.
Yeah, I mean, it's – look, every year is different, and even though Alito has been through the wars year in and year out, you never take anything for granted because you get some bad breaks or whatever. You have a turnovers or bad penalties that kill drives or whatever. It can end just like that. And they understand that. We saw it a couple of years ago when Money Parks dropped that ball in Abilene.
Abilene gets
and
Cooper.
We thought that they were dead in the water because here came Cooper running right down the field thinking that they were going to win. Of course, an Alito pick at the end saved them. But that just shows you that the margin is there. So they'll get him ready. There's a good running back that Alito's going to have to prepare for, but this is what you have to. This is what you expect in the playoffs.
Right. And as we wrap it up, we were remiss. We didn't mention tonight that the Alito quarterbacks were a perfect 15 for 15 tonight. Jake was 13 of 13. Rockmore came in, completed his two passes. Don't know that I've seen that before. Need to get Deacon to go back and do some research to see how many of his last passes last week he completed, and then we'll get a count,
yeah,
you know,
streak
on how many consecutive passes he has completed at this point. So that'll be something to watch. So anyway, that wraps it up probably here for this group of seniors here at Bearcat Stadium, and they certainly went out with a bang, no doubt, and closed out their career here at Alito. For Kevin Lundquist, I'm Jeff Williams. That's this week's edition of the Post-Game Podcast, Royce City. Coming up next week as they get set for the area round. Good night from Bearcat Stadium.